Hebrews chapter 4, seeing that God has offered us a promise that we may receive that promised rest which he has spoken about, let us therefore be careful so that none of you should be found to have failed to receive what he promised. Now, it's quite basic that God keeps his promises, and to think that he won't keep the promises is foolish. Of course he will. For we have heard the gospel just as they did, that is Israel. They heard the message, but it did them no good, because when they heard it, they did not accept it with belief. We who do believe then do receive the rest which God has promised, just as he said, "In my wrath I swear to them that they would never enter the land which I had promised to give them as their rest." So you see, we also have been promised the eternal inheritance of God's kingdom, just as they were promised. And yet they did not receive that message with faith. They thought that it was all too difficult. And so it is really with us, that we can sort of believe the idea that there will be a kingdom of God. We can know that there will be a kingdom of God. But do we believe that we'll be there? Because it's different to, there's a difference between knowing about something and actually trusting that this is true for little me. And this is how really it should be, that we look at these things about the kingdom, that we shall inherit the kingdom, and we believe it and trust in it, that this will be true for me. And that is what Israel didn't do. They even wanted to go back to Egypt. So then, God told them that they would not enter into that rest. He said this even though his work for them had been completed right from the beginning of the world. Because in a certain place in the scripture, it is said about the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from all his work. And again, this all is spoken about in another place, when he says, "They will not enter that land where I would have given them rest." Those who first heard the gospel, or the good news, did not receive that rest because they did not believe. And so then, there are others who will be allowed to receive it. And this is demonstrated by how God speaks specifically about another day, which he calls today. Many years after this, he spoke of it yet again through David in the scriptures. If you will hear God's voice today, do not be hard-hearted. Now if Joshua, which is the same word as Jesus, if Joshua had given the people the rest which God had promised, God would not have then afterwards spoken about another day. But as it is, there does still remain a rest for the people of God, just as God rested on the seventh day. Because whoever receives this rest, the rest which God promised, will also rest from trusting upon his own works, just as God rested from his works. So let us then do all we can to enter that rest, so that none of us will fail as they did because of their unbelief. The word of God is active and living. It is more sharp than any two-edged sword. It can divide all the way through, dividing the soul and the spirit, dividing through joints and marrows. It can judge the desires and thoughts of human hearts. There's nothing that can be hidden from God. Indeed, all things in all creation are open and naked before his eyes. And so then it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves. Now, of course, if he knows everything about us anyway, then we should not try to hide anything from him. So then we're going to come to the day of judgment, and we shall give an account of ourselves. That's what Paul says here. So then there will to some degree be a going through with us of the things we've done in some form. You remember how in the parable Jesus says, "When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to eat, to drink, or whatever. You didn't come to visit me in prison, did you?" And so in that sense, we must all give an account of ourselves to God. And so let us then hold firmly to the things which we profess to believe in. For we have a great high priest who has entered into the very presence of God, Jesus the Son of God. We have such a high priest who is not one who can't feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but rather we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but without sin. Now, if Jesus was tempted, that means he had the possibility of sinning. Now, he didn't. Every temptation, he had a choice to go to the right or to the left, but he always chose to go to the right. And so you see then that Jesus was not God himself, because in James 1 it says that God cannot be tempted. And yet Jesus was tempted. So then in every point where we're tempted, Jesus was also tempted. Let us have boldness then to approach God's throne of grace and to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So then when we need help against temptation, Jesus is really there, and he really does want to give us that help. He really does. He's absolutely with us because he had our nature. So he knows exactly how we feel.